While the future of a high-speed train may be uncertain, one thing that's already super fast is the information superhighway. It's changed the way many of us get our media. There are the legal ways of getting the shows and songs we want.
Hulu beams TV directly to your portable computing devices.
Rhapsody on TiVo. Millions of songs in your living room.
With Netflix, you just make a list of the movies you want to see, and you'll get your first DVDs in about one business day.
And then there are many illegal sites that do the same, and you don't pay a dime. The entertainment industry and the government have tried to clamp down on piracy, but the practice continues. Professor Brian Carver teaches at the UC Berkeley School of Information. KALW's Ben Trefney sat down with him to talk piracy.
So mega upload, other sites, the Napsters of yesteryear, people are downloading regardless of the fact that it's not really legal. I mean, it can come down to individual ethics, but it happens all over the place. I know plenty of people who find things for free easily. Does this culture need to be changed?
Yeah, I think the music industry in particular, and maybe increasingly the movie industry, feels like they're losing the sort of cultural or thought war on this. And even the use of the word piracy, they're using less and less because they feel like that doesn't have the impact that it once had. And you'll hear them talking about content theft. That's part of all of their conversations now. And I think it's an attempt at sort of changing people's minds about this, is that if people start to think of it as theft, I think they're hopeful that no one can reclaim that word as a positive thing, right? And so if we describe this as content theft, then maybe people will start to look at it in that light. But I think you're right that it goes on, and that's been the history over the last 10, 15 years, is that the content industries are playing a game of whack-a-mole where they shut down Napster, they shut down Grokster, Kazaa, Amster. They go after site after site, and it keeps popping up in a new form or a new technology. They've tried suing individuals. They've tried a range of different things. And I guess it's a mixed set of results. You could say they've had some successes because they have shut down all of those sites, but it's also in some sense a failure because it keeps cropping up in another form. And if we're losing mind share, right, if people don't see this as a problem and continue to do it and just move to whatever the new platform is, then it's a never-ending problem, potentially. I guess there are those who would say what they haven't moved quickly enough to, and that what they'll ultimately have success with, is actually competing with free, which they always have said, we can't do that. We can't compete with free. But I'm not sure that's true. I think iTunes has been phenomenally successful, and that's not free, right? You know, so when you provide somebody with a really great product and a reasonable price, there's a lot of folks who will say, okay, right? You know, I'll opt for that rather than searching for the same content on the free sites. And so we're beginning to see this, the video and the movie options, legal options, develop in ways that are convenient for consumers, reasonably priced. And if they focus on moving towards those approaches as quickly as possible, that's really their best approach to dealing with the overall problem.
That's Brian Carver. He's assistant professor at the UC Berkeley School of Information. So the way that the internet is now, and the cloud of information that we have access to in different ways, what do you think should be free for people to access?
It'll be hard for the content industry to begin charging for things that people feel like they used to get for free. Network television on an episode-by-episode basis, although we're seeing some success with that now. I think you get more people willing to sign up for subscription services like a Hulu Plus or Netflix or something like that. It's more like the cable model, right? I pay a monthly fee to get access to certain content. So I think you can bring consumers around to those sort of business models. But a lot of people are also having good success with an ad-based model, right? So they can provide free to the end user content.
Like Google.
YouTube has a lot of stuff that is supported by ads, and some of the portions of sites like Hulu are supported by ads, or even the network sites themselves. You go directly to NBC.com, things like that. A lot of the shows you can watch at no cost to the end user, but you're going to have to watch some ads.
Which is going right back to the old network TV model anyway.
Right. So this is an old model that has worked in the past, and so we're trying it out now in this new internet context. And I think it's likely that that sort of thing will gain some traction, right? But, I mean, your original question, what should be free? I don't know that anything necessarily should be free. This is a business decision for the content providers to make. They are competing with free out there right now, and their efforts to squash that through litigation and legislation are only marginally successful. So finding ways to adopt a business model and provide convenience to the end user that allows them to effectively compete with free is their most pressing, issue.
Because we're so used to so many things being free or accessible, whether or not it's legal, do you see trends toward fewer things being free, a more regulated and potentially punitive internet? Because it started out with access to practically anything that wasn't encrypted, and now it's access to practically anything if you want to be able to get it.
Yeah, people are trying to figure out what are those pieces of content that people are willing to pay for and that we would, as a content provider, rather lock up, right, and take the money we can make off of those who are willing to pay rather than continue providing it for free. So like the New York Times deciding to go to a subscription-based model, that's a bold move, and people are watching it to see if it works, if they've hit upon the right kind of business model where you can make enough money from your subscribers to say this was a good idea, or whether you're losing so many visitors who would be viewing ads and would be that you ought to switch back. So people are experimenting, and some of those business models are going to work, and I think overall it will lead to less completely free content online, but I'd be surprised if ad-supported models where for the end user it is free doesn't continue to play a pretty big role.